We're grateful to have everyone here this morning. We appreciate very much your presence. And that is especially so with regard to those who are visiting with us. We have a number of visitors today. We're very grateful that you are here. We have a number of our own members who are visiting themselves in other places. It's kind of the time of the year, the season of vacationing and traveling. But we are grateful for the fact that you are here. We want you to know that. We appreciate your spiritual mindedness that would cause you to come and to be with God's people on this day. This day is kind of a special day to me. My son, Jeremiah, has been in the midst of a move, and today is the first day that he will be preaching for the Elm Street congregation in El Reno, Oklahoma. I'm very proud of him and his decision to preach the gospel of our Lord, and thankful that he made it there safely and is settled in and beginning that new work. But by coincidence, it marks the 26th anniversary of the first Sunday that I preached for this congregation. So I've been here since August of 1989. And it's kind of interesting that my 26th anniversary is the actual first Sunday that Jeremiah is working with that new congregation. I bring that up in part just to make note of the fact that a lot of things have changed in the last 26 years. Some things good, some things bad. In fact, there are many changes that have taken place in the time that I have been preaching the gospel. There have been departures from truth. There have been issues and fights. There have been souls that have been saved and other souls that have been lost. And so good and bad happens. One of the things that is interesting, at least, with regard to the changes that have taken place since I started preaching the gospel, my first work in Tucumcari, New Mexico, was in the early to mid-1980s. And the very first work that I had, I used a mimeograph machine for my bulletin. I can go that far back. And I remember using it for two Sundays, having to cut that stencil from scratch each time, and decided to myself at that time I would ask the elders of the congregation if we could use the newfangled Xerox copier down at the office supply instead. And started using that after 2 weeks of using a mimeograph. So I'm kind of at the end of the mimeograph experience. I remember it as a child, but didn't use it much in my preaching. But as time has gone on, technology has changed. I missed the manual typewriter, but I used an electric typewriter, and then a self-correcting typewriter, then a word processor, and then when I got here to Westside for the first time, began using a computer. And that first computer wasn't very good. Dot matrix printers, 9-pin dot matrix printers, that the letters that they formed you couldn't even hardly read and were useless for putting out a bulletin. Then inkjets and overhead transparencies for overhead projectors. And then finally, all the way to what we have today with regard to projectors and LED panels and fast computers and smartphones. I tell you, it's amazing how things have changed. There are some individuals that don't like technology. There's a word that is used for such individuals. They're called Luddites. I don't know if you're familiar with the movement in England during the time of the Industrial Revolution. There were individuals who thought that the creation of the steam engine was the end of mankind. And so they were opposed to technology of any sort. And I think that their descendants remain among us even today. There are a lot of individuals you'll talk to that they are antagonistic toward technology. They talk about doing it the good old way, not realizing that the printed page is one of the greatest technological marvels and advancements in the history of mankind, which has led to our ability to have the Bible in every hand. But of course, there's a great deal of error, false teaching, smut, evil that has been printed on the printed page through the years too. So it's a tool. The printing press, it could be used for good and evil, and that's the way it is with just all different types of technology. Well, I personally am not a Luddite. Now, I am not the most technologically advanced, though I think I probably am a bit more so than the typical 53-year-old. But I look at what some of the younger people do, and my kids make fun of me from time to time because of my desire to go back to the good old days in some ways, or my struggle with some types of technology. I do want you to understand as we begin our study this morning, and we're going to be talking about the topic of sin, that that may be committed, temptations that may come as a result of technology, the technological age, and we're specifically going to be talking about the internet in our discussion this morning, that I do not come from that from the background of a Luddite, an individual who just as antagonistic. Now, some of you might be, and that's fine. If you don't want to have anything to do with the internet, talking with Dick this morning just before the worship started, and he said, I saw that www, you might want to use this, worldwide waste of time. That's what he called it. And there's some truth to that. In fact, the final point of my lesson will deal with that somewhat. So it may be that you're antagonistic to that. I want you to understand that I don't come from that point of view, in the sense that there's no use in any of it. In fact, I found technology to be very useful in my work as a preacher. It's an amazing thing to me. You see me carrying around that tablet from time to time, that in actuality I can put on that little tablet that I look at, which it's a big one, but little one in comparison, the entirety of my whole library, plus volumes and volumes and volumes beyond that of books that I can have at my beck and call just on that small slate. Technology is an interesting thing, a very beneficial thing. I've utilized our website to spread the teaching that I do here at Westside well beyond these walls. And there are gospel preachers that have utilized the presentations that I make and articles that I have written. There are others who have come to truth and come to an understanding of what they must do to be saved as a result of the words that have been spread by me over the internet and others, certainly, even to a greater extent. And so it can be a wonderful tool. But having said that, it can be an occasion for sin as well. And so we don't want to be antagonistic toward the concept of technology in general or the internet as an entity. We can talk about television, we can talk about radio, we can talk about the telegraph, we can talk about the printed page. And we understand that they can and have in the past been used for both good and evil. But I do want you to recognize that there are very real dangers. And the dangers, because of the nature of the medium, are actually exacerbated, and we need to be careful with regard to our use of some of these kinds of technologies. And there have been lessons that have been taught on this matter, but they're by no means exhaustive, and this one I want to add to in those particular efforts. And I would like to begin in Proverbs chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 1, and begin our reading in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 is where we'll begin. And we will read through verse 16 of the text as we start our time together this morning. The wise man says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like the grave or Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. This was written thousands of years ago. And we understand that evil has its influence in the world today. And that there are evil men, and that evil men will indeed wax worse and worse. And it is important that we as Christians, those who claim to be followers of our Lord and Savior, that we not involve ourselves in their sin, that we keep ourselves pure and abstain from any evil that we might see in other places. And so the importance of maintaining our purity and godliness in the face of the sin and the temptations to sin that are ever present on the internet is something we want to discuss in our lesson this morning. The internet makes the accessibility, the attraction of, and the attachment to sin something that is very immediate, something that is pervasive, and something that is extremely dangerous. I'm reminded of the text of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, where he writes, to test all things, to hold fast what is good, and abstain from every evil. Abstain from every evil. That's a calling to which we as the sanctified are called. We must give very, very careful heed to. And again, there is a danger that is present with regard to technology. There's a quote that I wanted to give you. The man who wrote this is Robert Bork, the judge. And I thought it was a very interesting thing because he said, a culture that is obsessed with technology will come to value personal convenience above almost all else, and ours does. And I think there is some truth to that. A culture that is obsessed with technology, the ease with which we can do things with regard to our culture, is something that lends to selfishness and a desire to have whatever it is that our heart desires, and there is tied in with that some very dangerous things. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk about four different internet dangers, or four different categories where such problems may show themselves. And the first is with regard to immorality, that there is a real great danger because of the dark denizens of the internet, those places on the internet where evil lurks and they are everywhere. And there is a very real danger to come across those kinds of things. And it may be as a part of social media. It may be that there are websites. Pornography, for example, is a real danger on the internet in this day and time. Pornography has always been around to one degree or another. In ancient times, they had pornographic sculptures and art. And of course, as time has progressed with the written word and with photography, those things have become more pervasive. And now, because of the internet, it is something that is truly available to any individual who has a computer and who has an internet connection, a connection to the internet, some kind of availability. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, we're told that fornication and uncleanness and covetousness ought not to be named among the saints. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, these things are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And so here is a call to be pure, a call to live a sanctified life, a warning against all of those various kinds of sins of immorality, not only fornication and adultery, but lasciviousness and lewdness, those things that can be viewed on the internet and in other places are things that are truly a danger. They're very destructive to a man's character, a woman's character, very destructive to a marriage relationship, very destructive to a family. And these kinds of things can be very, very addictive. And it's something we need to be careful about. Men especially, you need to be careful about the dangers of pornography. To make a covenant with your eyes that you will not look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart. In Matthew chapter 5, you'll remember our Lord said just that. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her, he commits adultery already with her in his heart. And there's a very real danger with regard to pornography. And by the way, we might, using the term or using that idea or concept of pornography, to recognize there are different levels. There are individuals who will say, well, there's one thing, it's pornography, but then you have other things that are maybe R-rated or PG-13, and there are distinctions that are made in the world that Christians really ought to be careful about, because we can become infatuated with evil and think of it as being acceptable or rationalize our imbibing in such things, involving ourselves in such things, because after all, we are falling far short of what others do. And yes, there is all types of depravity and ungodliness that exists on the internet, and what we might be looking at in our minds may be far less offensive than those things, but is it pure? Is it something that is conducive to righteousness? Is it something that should be characteristic of a pure life, a life that is lived in service to the Master? We need to be very careful and make that covenant with our eyes that we may not sin. But there are many other things. And I don't want to go through all of the various lusts of the flesh and types of immoralities that you can come into contact with on the internet. But there is a second one that I often, or that I seldom hear talked about, that is likewise a very real danger, and that is gambling. Because just as pervasive as pornography is on the internet, gambling sites are pervasive as well. And in fact, they are actually couched in different terms from time to time. The really big thing that's happening now is fantasy sports. And by the way, we hear it, some of us guys, just about every year, we have a fantasy league that we do where we draft football players and we go through that process and have a competition to see who will win. There's nothing wrong with that kind of thing, playing a game. But what we're talking about is gambling, where individuals will put money into a pot and then they will gamble that money in the hopes that they will win through making picks, which basically consists of lottery picks, something along those lines, in the hopes that they'll win a lot of money. And there are commercials on TV about the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are given away monthly and yearly at these kinds of sites. All it is gambling. It's just a form of covetousness that is sinful in the sight of God. There is a passage that I want to acknowledge in 1 Timothy, if you'll turn with me there, to chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, which I think deals with this particular issue in principle. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 10 of the text. We're told that godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. That's the attitude that the child of God should have toward material things. That does not in any way inveigh against investing, having insurance, taking care of our families. But what it does inveigh against is the desire for money and the covetousness that is characteristic of the world. And we are told in verse 9, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. If I could have one description that would properly define and describe gambling as it exists in our society, it would be that one verse. I have told this story on a number of occasions, but way back when, The state of Texas first had a lottery. You'll remember that the beginning of that lottery, the first thing they did was a ticket. You could buy a lottery ticket, and each week they had a drawing, you could win some money. And it was just an amazing thing how that, as soon as those tickets became available, how long the lines got for a period of time in the convenience stores as everyone wanted to get a lottery ticket so that they might get rich. Well, I went to a 7-Eleven once and saw a lottery ticket, scratched lottery ticket, laying in the parking lot, and I picked it up, and I read the back of that lottery ticket. Person who had bought it hadn't won, so they just discarded it and left it behind. On the back of that lottery ticket was a toll-free number that you could call if you had become addicted to gambling. If playing the lottery was ruining your life, you could call and you could get counseling, and you could get help. And I thought that was an amazing thing. Because the state recognized the problems with having a lottery. They recognized that individuals would waste money that they did not have, that their children would go hungry, that lives would be changed, that marriages would be destroyed as a result of playing the lottery. And so they wanted to do something, maybe to ameliorate maybe their guilt or at least the suffering that they were causing by engaging in those kinds of activities. And so we recognize that gambling is indeed pernicious. It is destructive. And this description, again, in verse 10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Individuals stray from the faith in their greediness and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. This is a snare that catches many, and it leads to perdition and destruction. You need to be careful about that and recognize the dangers that are found in that, and indeed to avoid those sins of the flesh. There's a second area that I want to talk about with regard to dangers in the internet that surrounds social media. And again, not approaching it as a Luddite, I actually utilize social media. We're talking about Instagram, we're talking about Twitter, we're talking about Facebook. We used to talk about MySpace, and that's again an indication that times change and technology evolves, and what was once the in thing is now the out thing. But everybody wants to be involved in those things. And I really think that to a certain extent, Facebook is kind of going to the wayside, and Twitter's taking the place of it. There's probably something out there that people who are early adopters are involved in that I don't even know what's going on with regard to those things. Social media has dangers. There are problems that are associated with social media that you need to be aware of. And for those who are Luddites and don't know what we're talking about are individuals who basically get on the internet in big groups with all of your acquaintances, so-called friends on Facebook, or followers on Twitter, and basically you reveal things about your life to other people. That's what happens. Now, what's gossip? When we talk about gossip, is spreading information that other people shouldn't even know about, that's not their business, things that could be injurious, things that could be harmful, things that can be destructive. Well, in many cases, that basically is what Facebook is all about with regard to the accounts of many. It is a tool. It can be used to share the gospel. It can be used to encourage. There are any number of times when I go to Facebook and look at my particular news feed and come across someone who is asking for prayers because of a sickness, an illness, or some other thing. And I'm thankful for the fact that those kinds of things are available. I might not know about it. I might not have the information that I need to pray on their behalf and to assist them and make supplications to God in that manner. But there is so much that is evil that appears in social media. So many dangers that are there. Let me give you just a couple. First of all, sins of the tongue. Gossip. Being a busybody. Being a talebearer. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. We are told a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. A talebearer. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. How many times have you seen conflicts and fights, arguments, and strife that come as a result of what someone has said as they have spoken injudiciously, spoken without thinking? That's one of the most harmful things about social media, is that it is so easy to type. You're not necessarily face to face with someone. You may not have thought it through, and you simply respond to something that you see and say something that you should not have said because you have not thought it through. You need to be careful about such sins of the tongue that may be destructive in regard to the lives of others. I want to apologize for passing over those two passages to begin or to introduce this subject. So I do want to go back and look at Proverbs chapter 14 as up on the board. Chapter 14 and verse 29 and chapter 15 and verse 21, and notice what is stated there. Proverbs 14 and verse 29, we're told that he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. And that's basically what we're talking about with regard to the use of social media, that sin comes when people are impulsive, when they do something, when they post something, when they share something, when they comment on something impulsively without thinking it through. There's much folly that comes with regard to that. We need to be careful to be discerning, especially in our use of such circumstances. In chapter 15 and verse 21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Discernment is needed because it is folly if we are not discerning. In other words, I do something, I involve myself in something, I post or I share, I comment on a particular thing, and it makes me happy. And the reason why it makes me happy to do that is because I'm not thinking sufficiently to know how destructive it might be. But we're told in verse 21, a man of understanding is one who walks uprightly. And so that's basically what we're emphasizing, especially with regard to social media, is the danger of impulsiveness and the lack of discernment with regard to our involvement in those kinds of things. Sometimes we will be unrighteous in our judgments. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. We are told, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and a shame to him. How many times have we done that? I've talked with a number of gospel preachers who have shared something that is false. It may be a political thing that is in keeping with their political philosophy, but it is a false accusation that is raised against a political opponent. And so they see it, and without being discerning, without looking into the matter to determine whether it is legitimate or whether there is a bias that is present or some inaccuracy, they'll pass it on. And you have to tell them, that's a lie. And then they have to go back and say, oh, I apologize. And they have to remove the offending thing because they were not careful in that regard. We need to be careful about those things. You can involve yourself in fights and conflicts and take sides not knowing what's going on, not having any understanding of the situation. There's no way that you could because you're thousands of miles from the actual circumstances, and yet you want to put in your 2-cent worth, and that's a danger. And Christians ought not to involve themselves in those kinds of things. Evil companionship. How many friends do you have on Facebook? Oh, I've got 555 friends. Really? You have 555 people that you will call a friend? Well, no, they're not really friends. Facebook calls them friends. They're just acquaintances. They're just people I know. I don't even really know all of them, and yet you are sharing all of your information with all of them, and not only that, but you're looking at everything that they are sharing as well. You see that evil companionship. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 33 and 34 not to be deceived because evil company corrupts good habits. Things that I wouldn't ever look at, but they appear on my news feed because some worldly individual who I have as a friend, he posts it, and so I get to look at it and I see it and I think, okay, I'm going to click on that and see where that goes. The corrupting influences are there, and we need to be careful not to allow ourselves to be enamored with those kinds of things. Awake to righteousness. Do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And you should not involve yourselves with those kinds of individuals. The Apostle Paul, there in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I speak this to your shame. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Some of the things that you're looking at, some of the people you're involving yourselves with, some of the company that you are keeping, and it's a very real danger that we need to be aware of. And it is especially problematic with regard to social media. Then the final thing, this is a real pet peeve of mine, passive aggressiveness. And boy, the internet is replete with passive aggressiveness and maliciousness and subtle digs and angry words and attacks and sometimes you've heard of backhanded and left-handed compliments. Individuals who will disparage, individuals who will subtly criticize, and that kind of evil speaking. I tell you something, we mentioned this a bit before. You're 1,000 miles away from someone. And there are things that I see people posting on Facebook that they would never say in public to that person. It would never come up to them face to face and say that thing, and yet because they have the buffer, and because perhaps sometimes even anonymity, that they are willing to act and to speak in such a way. There's a word that is commonly used for those who are familiar with these things. It's called trolling. And that can be to various degrees, and there are individuals who are trolls. You know what a troll is? You know, the troll of children's literature, that ugly monster that is mean and ugly under the bridge that you cross over, and he's just someone you wouldn't want to come face to face with. But you get anonymity on the internet and people act like trolls. That's why it's called trolling. And there's a lot of that that goes on. And some people are willing to do it even if they have their name attached to it. We need to be careful about all of those kinds of dangers. And so, I'm not going to say that the social media is something that is inherently sinful. Again, I utilize that to share my teaching and to spread my teaching. There are individuals that I have known since high school that are not members of the Lord's church that I will find from time to time commenting on or sharing the bulletin articles that I write for this congregation, and I'll post them up on Facebook, and there'll be some lesson that is there that they will get some good from, and they have posted it and shared it, and it's gone under the places. So it can be good, but there are real dangers that are associated with social media. We need to be aware of those things and be careful about them. The third point that I want to make is that there is much error that exists up on the internet. The wisdom of men, the false religious views that are there. It's very possible to become enamored with some false doctrine or false teaching because you have come across it on the internet. Now that danger is everywhere. Some people say, well, you shouldn't have commentaries in your office because of the error that's taught in the commentaries. Well, there needs to be discernment. And I know I've got a specific individual in mind, a specific preacher that went into Calvinism and finally became a libertine, an individual who believes there is no law and no responsibility, and that any kind of immorality and godliness is acceptable because he's saved by grace, who once was a faithful gospel preacher, and the way he got from point A to point B was because of his study of false doctrine. And he became enamored with it, and he embraced it, and he fell away as a result of it. So false doctrine is out there, and it's pervasive again on the internet, and we need to be discerning, and we need to test everything with God's Word. It's not wrong to read those things, but it is wrong to accept those things unless they coincide with God's Word. That's what the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether what was taught was so. We need to have that same nobility. And the Apostle Peter in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, the Apostle John later in verse 6 says, "We are of God." This is something to affirm. And it was true that John had the Holy Spirit who inspired him to write what he was writing. So here is the test. He said, "We're of God. He who knows God hears us." If you know God, you're going to listen to what I, an apostle of Jesus Christ, has to say. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And understand that. You have all of the internet memes, all of the blogs that you go to, all of the posts that are put up, and all of the teaching that is done. And there are individuals of every persuasion espousing every kind of doctrine, all trying to get people to listen to them. The way in which you discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is by going to God's Word. It and it alone is the determining factor as to whether something is right or wrong. You need to have that discernment, discerning and test with God's Word any doctrine or any claim of wisdom. And by the way, human wisdom is out there too. All of those internet memes, and a meme is a picture or a saying that becomes viral and goes everywhere, and you see them posted all of the time on social media, and they'll have some pithy saying, some word of wisdom that when you look at it, it sounds pretty good, but it doesn't hold true when you examine it in light of Scripture. We're told in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 by the Apostle Paul to beware. That's a word I want you to keep in mind. Beware. Be wary of anyone who would cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men and not according to Christ. The tradition of men, the basic principles of the world, or the base principles of the world, those things that are human philosophies and human wisdoms, they look good, they sound good, and I have seen again and again Christians who will forward them and share them and post them without really thinking as to whether or not they are valid and true, not discerning, not careful in that regard. And so they become individuals who have a part with false doctrine and with human wisdom. Fourth and final point. We could go on and on and on with regard to these things, but I just want to make note of the fact that just like television, you can waste your time. And there is, while somebody says, well, what difference does it make, wasting time? Well, you know, recreation's okay, and taking a break is okay. But what if you are spending so much time on the internet, or so much time watching television, or so much time reading a novel or another book, because we can go back to that old-fashioned technology of the written page as well. So that's a time waster. And you're taking so much time doing those things, and you think to yourself, well, I'm enlarging my consciousness, and I'm becoming more knowledgeable of the world around me. Yes, but are you being a good husband? Are you being a good wife? Are you being a good father? Are you being a good mother? Are you studying God's Word? Are you sharing the gospel with others? Are you praying? Are you fulfilling the responsibilities that you have as a child of God? The responsibilities that you have to family, to friends, to the world, to the government, to your employer. All of those things that should take precedence above wasting time browsing the internet. And boy, I tell you what. What Dick said about the worldwide waste of time, there's some truth to that. It can indeed be so. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says to walk circumspectly. That means have a careful walk, to map out what it is that you do every day and every moment of your life, not being foolish, but rather being wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And understand all of the obligations that you have and all of the ways in which you can better yourself and strengthen yourself spiritually, and how that the internet can take away from that and cause you to be less mature and less strong as a child of God, not only because of the evil that is there, but simply because while you're doing that, you are not actively pursuing righteousness. We need to work circumspectly, walk circumspectly. James chapter 4, you'll remember in verse 14, concerning these individuals that were going and working and spending a year or saying that they would. He said, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And so today we are to do good. Today we are to act in a righteous way. So as we draw our lesson to a close, I will say very clearly that the internet's a tool. And it's a tool that I utilize. And I don't want to be hypocritical in that regard. But it's a tool that can be used for good or evil. Just as the printed page, just as the television, just that old fangled telegraph. And so we need to be careful as to how we utilize it, because it can have a positive or a negative impact upon our spiritual standing with God. I'm going to do something a little bit different before I offer the invitation today. We, in our Bible study this morning, taught a lesson on the subject of repentance. And as a result of that particular lesson, Sister Jean Paul Sell wrote a short statement that she wanted me to read at the end of my time this morning as a part of the invitation that I extended. It also has something to do with the lesson this morning, so I wanted to end it with this reading, and I would like to say a prayer on her behalf, and then we'll offer that invitation. She writes, a while back I shared a Facebook post. The story was poignant and primarily for women. It showed an elderly mother and her daughter looking at one another in a headshot. The picture showed only their bare shoulders, but the indication could have been that they were nude. A brother pointed this out to me, and I immediately deleted the post. However, after our lesson this morning, and she was referring to our lesson on repentance in the Bible class, it occurs to me that I never acknowledged to others that posting that was wrong and that others had seen it. I asked God to forgive me and that brother, but now I am asking all of you. Now, the reason I bring that up now and state that is I appreciate very much Jean's spirit, her desire to make such an acknowledgement and to clear herself, to vindicate herself, which is, of course, what we were talking about in the lesson this morning. But I want you to know, to see how that it is possible for faithful and mature Christians to do something inadvertently, that is wrong and improper simply because of the availability. And to be careful in that regard. This, I think, serves as a great warning for us to be careful about what we post and what we see on the internet and validate some of the things that we've talked about in our lesson this morning. If you will, bow with me very quickly. Dear Father in heaven, we bow before you. We're so grateful that you are our God, and so grateful that forgiveness is ours if we seek to serve you and as we repent of our sins and express godly sorrow for things that we have done. We are so thankful that that Sister Paulsell has made this acknowledgement publicly so that she could vindicate herself in this regard. That if any had seen that post and saw that it was inappropriate, that she will receive forgiveness from them and that no lasting harm will be done by that post. Dear Father, we pray that you be with each of us, that we examine ourselves as well with regard to sin, to make sure that we are always seeking to do righteously in your sight, and when we falter, that we would indeed repent of those sins that we commit. We ask for your guidance and your strength and help as we seek to serve you each day, as we go out into the world and as we do from time to time involve ourselves on the internet, socially with others, that we will keep ourselves pure and holy in your sight. These things we ask in your precious Son's name. Amen. Okay, as we draw our lesson to a close this morning, I want you to recognize again the dangers that are there, and I hope and pray that the admonition that is given this morning will be beneficial and helpful to you to realize the importance of maintaining purity in this area as well as others in your life. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation call this morning, you have an opportunity to do so. As we have prayed for Jean and acknowledge her penitent spirit in this regard, we would likewise be willing to pray for you and to make supplications to God on your behalf. We don't know the hearts of any, but if you have that need to respond, we offer the opportunity to you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, that prayer that we offer up to God as children of His is one that grants for us His forgiveness, and it's a blessing that only God's children have. You want to become a child of God, you need to turn away from your sin, confess Him as your Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away, to begin that Christian walk this morning. We offer you the opportunity and availability of the water to accomplish that goal this morning. We ask that you have that need, that you come as well. The invitation is extended at this time. If you do want to come, please come while together we stand and while we sing.